everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 8th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I am joined by two very wonderful guests, and this is probably going to be a packed update here. Lots to update, lots to, I'm sure, yell about, and to introduce that concept. I've got Brent with me here. How you doing, Brent?
Me yell? Never.
I've also got John Krause. How you doing, John?
You know, I'm doing great. People have been like calling me and texting me and saying something about someone in Irma, but I got muted my phone. I have much more important things to worry about. So I'm here to talk about those things, and I'll worry about that later.
Yes. John, when I asked him if he could be on Friday, he was like, yeah, as long as, you know, I'm still here, because I am, you know, currently in the path of a big storm.
It's not even raining yet. No worries.
So wish John some good luck and some safety with the hurricane on the way here. But right now, we've got more important things to talk about, and that's Big Brother. So we're going to be updating you on everything that's been happening on the feeds from yesterday. And I figured, you know, first we would sort of break down what happened here on the double eviction. I know we kind of got into it on the recap last night, but these podcasts are here to tell you all the information. If you didn't understand what happened, we're going to sort of break this down. Obviously, yesterday I talked about how Josh had kind of planned on maybe revealing that he was going to vote Jason out prior to the eviction. Clearly that did not happen. Jason was very much blindsided by this vote. As I mentioned, it was very emotional for Josh. And we saw that Jason was blindsided. Christmas ends up evicting him. Jason is pissed. He walks straight out the door. Alex is screaming at him, it wasn't me. But Jason is convinced. Jason here is convinced that Alex is part of this plan. He even gets the goodbye messages, and Josh throws him under the bus. This was all Paul's plan. Paul tries to play innocent. Oh, I'm in a house full of counterfeits. But it very, very, very falls flat here. And then we get in the exit interview afterward on the feeds. Jason says he is pissed at Paul. He is pissed at Alex. He wants Christmas to win this game as the biggest FU to the season, that a girl with one leg could win it. So, John, what did you think about all this mess last night?
Well, there's certainly a lot to talk about. I think that the most interesting thing coming out of that whole situation, as you recapped it, is that even though Jason correctly blames Paul, he's also blaming Alex. He seems to be sort of done with Alex, right? He doesn't want her to win. Like you said, he wants Christmas to win as a big FU to the season, which is appropriate because I think this season has sort of been a big FU to everybody. But I think the interesting thing is that during that interview, that post interview that he did, one of the things that he talked about was who he wanted to talk with after the show, who he wanted to be friends with from the cast, like who he was still willing to talk to. And he said, Kevin and Paul, and that's it. Only wants to be friends with Kevin and Paul afterwards. And I think that's interesting because even though he's mad at Paul and he clearly blames Paul for him going home, which is correct, other than, but he doesn't mention Alex or Josh or anyone else in that list. So those of you who are talking about him being angry and not voting for Paul in the end, I think he might still do it. It seems like he still wants to be friends with Paul.
Yeah, I agree. I read that interview too and heard him on the feeds afterward. And the thing that really took me was he said that, but he also said like he wants Paul to end up in a Reno of bulls and have to endure that because he thinks he really has it coming. So he obviously is really pissed at Paul, but I think I agree with John. I feel like he's already, even as the interview goes on, is starting to calm down a little bit and realize maybe he got played and that's just part of the game. It's really too bad too, because, you know, Taryn, we talked in the beginning of the season that we felt like that of the people who were playing, he probably had some really good instincts for the game. And I really do think that he did. But you can see even in his exit interview, with him continuing to blame Alex, Jason's whole world was Paul and Alex. He never really tried to do anything else with anybody else. And thus, when something like this happens and he gets bamboozled, he's like, well, it had to have been them. Because from his perspective, Alex and Paul are controlling the house, when in actuality, only half of that is true.
Well, he also called everyone else left in the house Alex and Paul's minions, which is really funny because he was one of those people less than 30 minutes prior.
Right. This is so weird, too, because you brought this up. Was it yesterday or maybe on the show with me last night, Taryn, where they almost have it right. They get part of the way there, but the picture is very, very murky. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, he really does sort of figure out, like, man, so if Paul was doing this, then and he was voting me out, then maybe Alex is next. And then if Alex is not next, then maybe it's Raven to keep up the lie. Like, he was like, he's figuring it out with, it's like 2 seconds without Alex there, and he's starting to figure it out. But of course, he still is placing a lot of blame on Alex. Though I can't really blame him for placing blame on Alex, because it really is Alex's fault. But yes, he did mention, like, you know, who would he like be friends with or invite back home? And he did mention Paul, but I think part of that was that he was saying that he wanted to invite Paul to his house so that he could, like, beat him up, right. or maybe just might be, with some bulls.
That might be how he reacts to stuff, because he said he wants Christmas to win the game, but also that he wants to hold her head underwater for 5 minutes. So yeah. I think that's just sort of one of his coping mechanisms is violence, which is great. We all should be that way.
Yes. And by the way, you should totally watch this this interview on the feeds. I like, basically none of them this season have been very good, but this one was pretty great. He ended it like, did you want to say anything else? And he was like, yes, tell all your rodeos, your local rodeos, that bring a whistle nut here, because then I'll have work for the next 10 years, because I just botched a chance at a $500,000 check thanks to those two assholes, Paul and Christmas, or Alex. God damn, I messed that up.
I love it, though. I you know what? I hope John will agree with me on this. We've had so many bad double evictions lately, yes, in the past few seasons, that it was nice to see somebody who actually hurt, who actually was pissed that they lost the game. It didn't just walk out of the house doing a flipping cartwheel. You know what I mean? I mean, somebody who was actually, like, gutted that their chance at $500,000 was gone. I know we've talked in the past about, you know, do they need to raise the prize money? Could that help? I've always contended that the prize money is fine. It's the people that they're putting in the house that's the problem. And obviously Jason really, really could have used that money, and he realized he screwed up.
Yes, I really do. I think Jason was great casting. If he had just been a little more aware of the show, I think it would have been even better. He's somebody that really, really wanted to win the game. He was a very genuine, like, character in the house. He was not concerned about how he came off to people. Like, he clearly wasn't that concerned. Like, obviously he cared, but he wasn't trying to play up a character. He was just being himself, and he wanted to win really bad. And I feel like that makes for a really good person to have on the cast.
One of the factors of when you get people in the house that don't know much about the game is that they look to people who do know stuff about the game. And that's the problem when you have only one or a few people that come back that are returning players. Like, we've discussed this before, Paul becomes an authority figure. Like, one of the many ways that he has gained trust with these people is that he's been able to say, don't worry, I know what's coming next, and I will look out for you guys. And then because he does know what's coming next, like, he's proven right time and time again. We see this where, like, a lot of the twists that they throw into the show, like, they're kind of good in and of themselves, but sometimes they cancel each other out, right? Like, most famously in Big Brother 15, we had the the MVP twist, which I thought was kind of a neat idea, but then you throw in, you know, Rachel's sister, who's just going to get all of those prizes, and that's what sort of breaks it. Like, throwing people who don't know anything about the game into the house, that can be interesting, because then maybe we can see new forms of gameplay, and it can be interesting watching people learn how to play. One of the reasons we liked Paul last year was he was learning how to play in front of our eyes. But then you take that factor and then you throw a Paul in, and he's just like, just trust me, I know what's going on. You know, then they'll do it. If Paul weren't there, maybe Jason would have gotten a clue.
Yeah, I have to say really quickly, and I know we'll move on, but I go back to the interview that Allison Grodner did at the beginning of the season, where the interviewer, and I can't remember who it was, basically called her out and said, you know, well, what do you say to the fans who wanted an all new person season, and they want to know why you're bringing Paul back? And she's like, well, you know, it just one veteran, and it really shouldn't make that big of a difference. I really, really think that somebody, if Rob gets a chance to interview Allison Grodner at the end of the season, I want him to read that quote back to her and ask her if she still believes that.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I have said this before, they need, like, people to work on game mechanics, because, like, they don't know how to balance, like, they are producing a show and they think that they can just throw in whatever they want. They don't realize that the game is also very important to balance if you want to make a good show. And I really just, like, they need to hire somebody like that worked on The Genius, or maybe like a video game mechanics person, who knows, but they need someone. So moving forward, obviously, after Jason gets evicted, Paul gets into a big fight with Josh. This was planned. If you've been listening to this podcast, you know that this was something that Paul and Josh were planning. Josh did not like this plan, but he did go through with it. Paul pretending to be mad at Josh for evicting Jason. And that is what allowed him to stay on Alex's good side. He then tells Alex, man, I'm really pissed at Josh and Christmas, but we still need to get Kevin and Raven out first. Kevin is so devious. Raven is better at challenges. We need to go after them first. And ultimately, when Alex wins the HOH, she goes through with what Paul tells her because of this fake fight, because Paul was able to convince her that he was not in on taking Jason out. So she puts up Kevin and Raven. Josh wins the power of veto, doesn't use it, and then this is another interesting part. Paul and Christmas end up voting Raven out, and Josh votes to evict Kevin. I still don't know why, so I can't tell you that unless John or Brent have figured this out. I didn't see them talk about it at all.
The only thing that Josh said was that he wanted Kevin out. That's, I mean, it was just, there was no game behind it. It was just, he wanted Kevin out over Raven. I think honestly, my read on the situation is he already felt bad enough about having to lie to Whistle for the entire week and blindsiding him because Whistle was pissed. He was emotional. He obviously had some connection with Raven. You know, he cared about her and said, you know, it was going to be us at the final four. We're going to, you know, we'll get Kevin out before you, Raven. And then he has to, you know, the prospect of stabbing her in the back, you know, 40 minutes later, I think was probably just too much for him. You saw him crying on the sofa in the Austin Powers room at the end. So I feel like this was a really tough night for Josh.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about this is that Josh ending up voting Kevin out leaves Raven leaving the house, I think thinking that that Paul was the vote to save her. Raven leaves this house. She does her interview and she is talking about how Paul is her butty-butty. Yep. And she's rooting for Paul. And Alex is clearly the mastermind of the house who has
Christmas
and Josh as her lackeys. And so she feels like Alex took Raven out using Christmas and Josh, and Paul tried to save her, but obviously that's not the case. So you know, Josh, who threw Paul under the bus to Jason, ends up really helping Paul out with this weird vote. I also forgot to read the part in my, it's a very important part in my notes. I said Alex wins HOH, puts up Kevin and Raven like a dum-dum. That was a very important part. So yeah, very, very bad move by Alex, obviously, to listen to Paul here. I said it in the podcast last night, but I really feel like if she had managed to take a shot at Paul here, she probably wins the game. But obviously this is Alex we're talking about, so it doesn't happen. So ultimately, Raven leaves the house, and that's where we end the double eviction. What do you think, John?
Yeah, for a second, I was like, when Alex won that HOH, I was like, oh boy, everything's going to go up in smoke, because Josh was battling himself all week. Like, should I play into Paul's hands? Should I do what Paul wants? And then we saw on the show that he did. Not only did he vote the way that Paul wanted, but then he allowed this sort of fake fight to happen. And he allowed publicly for Paul to throw Josh under the bus. And then Alex wins HOH. And I was like, okay, this is going to blow up in Josh's face, because now Alex has seen that Josh admitted that he's the one who voted Jason out. And like, it's a no brainer that Josh is definitely going to go up on the block. And I tweeted about it, like, here we go, this is the end or whatever. And then Alex puts up Kevin and Raven, and it's just like, oh, that's right. You know, like, my expectations of even the slightest amount of correct gameplay from Alex were just way too high. And I was kind of disappointed, but I've actually, this has become one of my favorite seasons, because it's become sort of like The Room or like Plan 9 from Outer Space. Like, it's now enjoyable because of it's just sort of a disaster. So yeah, it's been fun.
I thought the double eviction last night was the best episode of the season by far. Amazing. And it was amazing television. I was riveted the entire time. Like, things didn't go right. Paul was doing amazing things, but then also making huge mistakes. And there was a large amount of emotion, both with Jason and Josh. And then Raven leaves with like the fake crying and then cartwheeling the second she gets out the door. And like Alex winning. It was so much great stuff.
So say, I remember your question now after that comment, but you like, so that vote, why did Josh vote that way? I don't know. is that it was probably emotional. It's like, I agree with Brent that it was probably just like, he said later on in the feeds, which we'll get to at some point, I'm sure, that like, Paul, he was kind of angry at Paul. He's like, you broke my heart this week. Like, it was just so hard for Josh to vote these people out. So I think it was probably more emotion than anything, but it has played off strategically. Like we said, Raven leaves the house thinking that, Paul is still on her side, still her buddy. So that helps Paul, and Raven didn't seem too angry at Josh either. So that really benefits both of them. Also, in terms of Alex, you know, now Alex, I think if it was 3-0 and no one was voting for Kevin, maybe Alex would have been like, no one wanted to vote Kevin out there. I thought that's the one person we've been wanting out all season. And so the fact that there was one vote on Kevin, maybe that will help sort of sell the lie further down, because spoiler alert, Alex still doesn't suspect anything as of today. So I do think it's paid sort of strategic dividends for certainly Paul and possibly Josh. But I do think maybe in the moment that there wasn't that much strategy.
Jackie in the chat says, my husband, who never watches, could tell the fake, could tell the fight was fake. Why can't the house guests? Because Paul would never fake a fight. He's all about friendship.
Because they think the Titanic sank 70 years ago.
And it's great too, because Alex has like some minor moments of doubt, and she's and Paul's argument is, why would I fight with Josh if I was in on it?
This is a cast that earlier, a week or two ago, Jason said, I definitely am not getting backdoored, because if I were, I would know about it.
Yeah. And he's like, why would Kevin know and not me? Like the person being backdoored. Ultimately, you know, Raven leaves again, thinking that Paul is on her side here. And this is an important difference. And I know, Brent, you tweeted this out yesterday that, you know, the difference between like stabbing someone in the back, stabbing someone in the front, and then the point that I was making, which is the timing of it, right? So Jason is leaving, and in the height of his pissed offdom, he gets the slap in the face of Josh telling him this was all Paul's idea, and then Paul trying to pretend it wasn't, and he is just pissed at Paul. And, you know, ultimately, I think if he does end up voting for Paul, it's probably because he goes to the jury house, and they're just like, get over it, dude. And he gets peer pressured. We know Jason is very apt for that sort of thing. But we see it happen with Raven, where Raven comes out of the game thinking Paul is totally on her side. And I think this is something that happens, right? Where so like, especially for somebody like Raven, she's going to come up with a story that Paul was on my side, and she's going to go to the jury house. And even after they tell her, no, Paul betrayed you, Paul was like not never planning on taking you to the end, this is going to be incongruent with her view of what she thought was going to happen, her narrative for her own brain. And she's going to like say, okay, that's fine, but I'm not mad at Paul. I'm mad at this person. That's the thing I decided. And she's going to like warp some stuff around to make it seem as though Paul is the one that she should be voting for and not somebody else. Whereas Jason is always going to be mad at Paul. I don't think anything's going to stop him from being mad at Paul, because he found out that Paul, you were the one that betrayed me in the moment where I was most angry. That said, again, he might begrudgingly vote for Paul. So that is a possibility.
Are you trying to say that you're right? Is that what you're trying to say? I feel like that's what you're trying to say. But anyways, fine. Whatever.
I'm not trying to say it. I'm just explaining that I am.
I like that. I've lost my point. That was actually a really good joke. Thank you. You made me laugh. I know, right? What I want to say about Paul and this whole, you know, duplicity, stabbing in the front, stabbing in the back, I still think it's better to go in the front, but I am worried. Here's the thing. When you said last night that you think one of the questions that the jury is going to ask Paul is, where was your true loyalty? And of course, I gave what I thought was the best answer to that question. But let's assume that Paul doesn't. Let's assume he actually says Christmas and Josh. Do you think that changes any hearts and minds? Because I generally feel like that the jury questioning is pretty useless nowadays. And even if they do try to get to the bottom of that question, I don't really know if it's going to make any difference. What do you guys think?
I see. And this is what I think, right? So like somebody like Jason, he's mad at Paul. He wants to be mad at Paul. He will look for any reason to not vote for Paul. So if he's like, where do your true loyalties lie? And Paul gives him an answer that he's pissed about, he might change his vote against Paul. But somebody like Raven, who comes out of the house like thinking, I love Paul, like your feelings override the facts, right? Like the logic of like, who should I like, who actually betrayed me, the feelings really tend to override that. So I think she'll be confused when people tell her that Paul wasn't on her side, and she'll want to believe that Paul really was her friend, or that like, okay, if that's fine though, he got me, it's a game, because I still like him. I don't want to be mad at him. So I think that that may be a question. Who are you truly loyal to? And all Paul needs to do is just not completely screw it up, right? All he needs to do is not say like, well, actually I hate you secretly, and I always wanted to take you out, or like, I was never loyal to you in the game, or like, he just needs to give a neutral enough answer that was like, you know what? I really wanted to work with you toward the end, but I knew I couldn't beat you. And so, you know, I had to be loyal to myself and my family and all of that. And I had to move forward with these other people. Like, that is a neutral enough answer that if they already want to vote for him because they like him, I think it's like, okay. That's good enough. I can work my rationalizing magic to make that work. I think that's the answer.
This is a completely subjective opinion, but unlike Survivor, I don't think that Big Brother ever has live juries. I don't think that it's ever really a case where the decision isn't already made. I think you could argue that a few times in Survivor, certain jury speeches or whatever have swayed the jury. I don't think that's ever happened in Big Brother. And I would even argue that I don't think that they want it to happen. They clearly, like, they bring in the coaches, right? They bring in Dr. Will or Dan to like coach the jury. That's not something that happens on Survivor. Like, they clearly kind of want the right people to vote for the right people. And so I think that the decision will already be made. Maybe like one vote, maybe Jason, if he's looking for a reason to be angry at Paul, I could see it sort of flipping. But I think that the jury is already going to be pretty much decided. We've already seen one jury segment. We'll probably see another one or two before the end of the game. And that jury segment from last week with Mark and Elena and Cody, you know, they're already to the point where they're like, yeah, Paul's the mastermind. Like, he's going to win if he gets to the end. And so, and they seem to encourage that sort of a thing. So I really don't think that there will be a point where the jury is swayed anyway, like, unless Paul does something truly like horrifically heinous. I don't think that they're going to change their votes.
Yeah. And, you know, Paul keeps talking about like his arguments to the jury, like, oh, I'll argue that I was never nominated, that I won this many competitions, so on and so forth. And like, again, I don't think he recognizes that that's not what happens in the jury. They like the jury speech in Big Brother used to be, I'll make a case to the jury and that'll win some votes over. It'll lose some votes, whatever. Now it is just don't screw it up. Just don't completely put them off to the point where they're willing to change their vote, because there's no way you're going to win a vote in that final jury thing when it's so close to the vote. They're already decided, but you can lose a vote. You can like totally screw it up bad enough that you lose a vote. And I think that's what we saw in Big Brother Canada 4. I think that jury was a little bit live. They were kind of willing to go either way, and they're just really disappointed with Kelsey's answers. And so, you know, ultimately they go for the brothers. So, you know, if they really hate both people and they don't want to give it to either one, I think it's possible that they could be live, but that hasn't really happened very often at all in the history of Big Brother, especially with the new format. It's just don't mess it up. That's all you need to do.
We have to remember too, like, they always kind of rush the finale. That we always get excited because it's a big buildup for the whole season, but the finale episodes typically aren't the best episodes of the season. They're always super rushed. Those jury segments, they got to get through all those questions, they got to get through the speeches, and they got to vote. And so I don't know that we'll have a lot of time for people to really like toss it around in their minds. You know, they want to get those keys in the box and move on.
Yeah, it's, 99 days leading up to Paul, you are the winner of Big Brother 19. There we go. We're done. So we should also talk about this decision Paul made, because ultimately this was Paul's decision to take out Raven ahead of Kevin. We talked about this yesterday morning. I really feel like this was a big mistake. Moving forward, going down to the final three, it does seem like Paul wants to take Josh and Christmas. Obviously, Josh is going to cut Paul at the final three. That is a guarantee at this point. And honestly, I think Kevin will as well. Kevin has talked to Jason, and I mentioned this again yesterday, that Paul is somebody that people need to take out if they want to win the game. So has Paul reached a point where he can't get better than 2 out of 3 in that final three HOH for taking him down to final two? Like, he basically, he'll have a 66% chance, and that's the best he'll get, just like Vanessa. What do you think, Brent?
I mean, I don't know. Look, we've seen that Christmas has been able to compete in some of these competitions, and they're also letting her compete in some of these other competitions that we thought maybe they wouldn't let her compete in. I can actually feasibly see a possibility where Christmas and Paul make it to the end of the final HOH. I never thought that she would be able to before, but she can win endurance if they're going to let her do stuff like rolling around in a ball pit. They'll sure as hell let her hang on a wall and land on a mat. So I feel like she could win part one. Paul would obviously beat Josh in part two. I think Christmas and Paul would probably take each other unless Christmas finally wakes up. But as we talked about last night, I think she really likes Paul.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he'll have, you know, there's three players. One of them is going to win. He'll have a 2 out of 3 shot at getting taken. It's whether it's him and it'll probably be him and Christmas who will take Paul to the final two. But Josh wouldn't. Kevin wouldn't. And I don't think Alex is getting there. So I think if he had taken Raven and Christmas, he would have been guaranteed a place in the final two. And I think he would have been guaranteed a win. I think he let that go when he let Raven go ahead of Kevin. I don't think Kevin will take him to the final two. So I really feel like this was a pretty, pretty significant mistake.
I do too. I think it was a mistake. And I also, people on Twitter were tweeting me saying, well, he didn't have the votes anyway. He did have the votes. What are you talking about? If Paul changes his votes and votes to evict Kevin, Raven stays in the house, and Raven would have been a valuable tool for Paul to use in the game going forward. And she's also a massive final two goat, which doesn't seem like Paul is willing to recognize. I said what I said before, like 4 weeks ago, which is that Paul is more deathly afraid of losing the game and coming in second place again rather than being evicted. I really do feel like he wants to take as many goats down to the end as possible. I think he thinks Josh is a goat. I think he thinks that Christmas is a goat. I feel like he thinks that he'll beat them handily again. He underestimates the luck factor of the part three HOH, and I feel like he's made a couple of mistakes here in the end game that could cost him, but I don't know if they will.
Yeah. And I mean, anyone that's arguing like he didn't have the votes, he was the one that has been pushing to evict Kevin over or to evict Raven over Kevin all week for weeks now. The only reason he might not have had the votes is because that's what he's been preparing people to do. And he did have the votes. And even if he had changed his mind last second, he would have been able to rally up the votes to take Kevin out over
Raven. John, why do you think that? Why do you think that Paul, in the face of all the evidence of how loyal Raven was to him and how much of a goat that they all in the house kind of feel like she is, it's so weird because they in the house, they can't stand her, but somehow in their heads, they're like, but if she gets to the end, we all might vote for her. But I can't believe that Paul bought that. Why did he let Raven go here?
Yeah, there's like a disconnect between how they personally feel about her and how they think that everyone feels about her. We know from people like Jessica and Ramses and people who have come out of the house and actually talked to us that everyone in the house thinks that she's America's favorite, that she's America's sweetheart, that she has this great story, that she's unbeatable in the end. And even though I think that they've all kind of caught on to the fact that even that they don't like her, and that, you know, kind of in whispers when it's just Christmas and Josh alone in the room, or just Christmas and Paul alone in the room, that we don't like her either. I think there's this scary idea of like this groupthink mentality where it's like, yeah, but if she's in the end, everyone likes her. I think that they feel like, I don't like her, but everyone likes her. And I do think, and it sucks that we talk about this, but this is a cast that is very concerned with social media following and getting exposure and all of these things. And, you know, there's a little bit of an irony disconnect where we know that a lot of the stuff that she says may or may not be true. You know, we've seen that the TV show has gotten to the point where they're kind of making fun of Raven too. But in the house, they don't know that. Like, as far as they know, in the house, America loves Raven. And so I think that they're concerned. They don't want, like, you know, Christmas has this book out and she wants to talk about her book and her career. And like, there's probably a little bit of a fear that if like they take Raven to the end, that like the jury will have to give it to Raven, because you don't want to be the one juror who doesn't vote for, you know, the dying girl, you know?
And that's the brilliance of taking Raven to the final three, because it guarantees Paul, even if it's not Christmas there with him, maybe it is Kevin, maybe it's Alex, maybe it's Josh, whoever it is. I think he can very easily make a case. You can't take Raven to the final two. You have to take me. She'll win because of the sympathy, and Raven is going to take him. So it guarantees him a shot in the final two. Even if Raven does win and take him, he still beats her. And if he doesn't recognize that, that's on him. So I really feel like like this is just a huge mistake.
I have to say, though, you know what else is a huge mistake is the fact that Raven went home, because I hope the chat room will agree with me on this. But we were really denied some more Raven exposed parties by the Big Brother producers here. I mean, like, they were getting there, y'all. They were getting there to the really good meat of it all. And now it's just been taken away from us. So I'm a little bitter about that.
Julie tried to go at her so hard, and she went after her on Twitter afterward also. But
I missed that.
Did you even play the game? Or maybe it wasn't an interview. Did you play the game, Raven? And Raven says, I think I played the game.
Right.
I was loyal to Paul. He was in my corner. I threw competitions to Paul. And this is right after Paul evicted her. So yeah, she did do a lot in the game for sure. All right. So let's move forward. The feeds come back and Paul and Josh are talking. Josh is still kind of freaking out. He's very emotional about this whole thing. Paul is telling him, you got to calm down. You need to win this HOH. We need to put Raven and Kevin up on the block, and then we'll vote put Alex and Kevin up on the block, then we'll vote Alex out. And he's just like, we gotta stay calm. We gotta do this. Josh is asking, should we continue the fights, the fake fight? Like, what are we doing there? Paul says, no, we'll tell Alex that we're just remaining cordial. That we've got a mutual target. Like, everything's like, we're still angry at each other, but we're not gonna be like fighting all the time. That's the plan.
Yeah, there. Alex, our mutual target is Kevin, the same guy that we could have evicted two evictions ago, and the guy that we could have evicted during the last eviction when you were the head of household and wanted us to evict him. But yeah, Alex, believe us this time. Kevin really is the target this time. We're telling you. Oh my God.
Yes. Can I just say that I was dumbfounded? There was a little moment at the end of the double, like a lot of stuff was going on, but when Raven got evicted, as she was walking out that door before she did her cartwheels and her backflips and her half gainers, that as she was walking out, Alex was like, Raven, I'm so sorry. That wasn't me. And it's like, Alex, you won HOH, you nominated Raven, and then Raven goes home, and then you say it wasn't me. Like, who else was it then? Like, you're the one who put her on the block.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like Alex thinks that she's in control of the house. So, like, both people that left, she was like, wait a minute, that wasn't in my plan.
Yeah.
What happened? Then Alex comes into this conversation, and Josh tells her that, here's what happened. Jason came to me an hour before the eviction. He told me he didn't have my back, that he's loyal to you and Paul. And that's, you know, what am I supposed to do with that information? So Alex asks him, like, whose plan was this to take Jason? Was it Kevin? I bet it was Kevin. And Josh is like, yeah, it was Kevin. Kevin got in everyone's ear, man. Ooh, Kevin.
Yeah, Josh was like, he's been a mastermind this whole season. And Alex was like, yeah, I know. Like, it's really getting on my nerves.
She's so stupid. This is probably where my mic goes out, because I'm so yelling at her. Like, she's asking questions, but she's leading the witness. She's like, well, what happened here? Was it Kevin? I mean, like, you're giving them the answer. If you want the truth, get one person by themselves in a room and make them tell you, when did they decide this, what happened, and who did they know was in on the plan. That's what she should have done. That's what she got Josh in the storage closet by himself. If anybody else wants to come in, get the hell out. I want to talk to Josh. What happened? And yeah, see if their stories match up. But instead, she just gives away the whole farm, Darren, where she's like, oh, was it Kevin? Oh, Kevin masterminded this. Even though he couldn't strategize his way out of a brown paper bag, somehow you're going to believe that he was the one in control of Jason's demise. Give me an effing break.
And it's clearly this case where she just hates Kevin. And so she's crafting a narrative to fit her feelings, which is like, I hate Kevin. I want it to be his fault. And then she subconsciously is putting that out into the world where she's saying, was it Kevin? And then obviously people are going to be like, yeah, it was Kevin. She's like, I knew it. I was right all along.
Kevin did the same thing later on in the evening. Paul was telling Kevin what the plan was, because Paul and Kevin are also still a tight two. Don't forget, Kevin's number one is still Paul. And he was saying, like, listen, I think that you're going to probably be put up this week. And then Kevin was like, OK, if I'm going to be put up, who am I going to be put up next to? Who's the target? Is it Alex? And then Paul didn't even have to say anything. He just sort of like nodded his head. And it's the same thing. I think that good advice for anyone who's going to play Big Brother, any of these games in the future, is don't lead the witness. Like, if you want to know someone's plan, don't put the words in their mouth, because then they'll just say that to you. And then that gives them sort of like plausible deniability later on.
Yeah, exactly. You're telling them what you want to hear, which makes it so much easier for them to tell you what you want to hear.
Let me just say that Josh is not a good liar. He's actually really terrible. There's so many people in the house. I mean, I sort of just take it as a given that I'm a good liar. Like, I just kind of know that about myself in general. And of course, you know, there are things that happen in my life that cause me to be a really good liar. I feel like, obviously, getting through addiction, I feel like you become a really good liar because you're so desperate. But beyond that, I feel like the people in general, I thought were really good liars, but not so much watching these people, because besides Paul, I think most of them are actually pretty awful. And somehow they feel badly about lying in a game for $500,000. Taryn, can you please explain that to me?
Well, I think it's part of the culture that Paul has created, right?
Friendship.
Where it's like, it's all about friendship. And, you know, like, I think Josh is really the main person here that feels bad about lying. He's crying when he's evicting Jason. He feels so bad when he's lying to him. He feels bad even evicting Raven. And I think even just having that one person in Josh who feels bad kind of like reminds everyone else that what they're doing is kind of bad, because if you're surrounded by people who are like, yeah, we're lying, that's what we have to do, you're like, yeah, that's fine. But if there's one person there that's like, oh my god, this is devastating me emotionally, you're like, oh man, yeah, that does remind me that this is a human being and that I should probably maybe
right.
feel a little
you
bit
know
better.
What else? You want to know who's a human being? That's Josh. I've said this before, John, I hope you'll agree with me that Josh is like honorary gay guy. He's like honorary homosexual of the year, because when he goes into the diary room to vote, it's like the drama of it all. Julie's like, you know, Josh, please cast your vote to evict now. Julia, I vote to evict. Dun, 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 dun. Raven. I mean, like, there's always, like, Rob called this early on the season. I think it was the first vote of the season, right? When he, when Josh was the last person to cast his vote, and he went into the diary room, he was like, I vote to evict Jillian. And then, you know, when Rob and I were on the show afterwards, Rob was like, Josh is really milking it there. If only he knew what it was going to be like as the season progressed.
Well, yeah, I mean, this double eviction is like, I vote to evict
Jason. Oh, the drama.
Well, I will say, so I don't think it's my place for a number of reasons to label who is and who isn't gay. But I will say that Big Brother has a history of casting an archetype. And usually the person who fills that archetype is the one gay person they cast. Like Andy Heron for years has been saying, you know, they always cast the weepy gay guy, and that they always, because he was sort of the gay person in Big Brother 15, that he didn't like how they always showed the clips of him crying. Like the two times he cried that season, they made sure to show that. Right. And so definitely that season, this season, you know, Josh isn't gay, but he's certainly filling the archetype of what normally is the gay archetype on Big Brother, which is the big, flamboyant, dramatic, crying person. And believe my goodness, like Josh has cried more tears than I think anyone in the history of the show. That scene last night where he was in the hot tub, I mean, like, how dense does Jason have to be when it's just Jason and Josh, and Josh can't even look at him, and he's just like refilling the hot tub with his tears, and Jason's like what's wrong, and Josh is like, I don't want to hurt. And then Jason's like, who don't you want to hurt? Who's going to be hurt on Thursday? And it's just like, I won't say, but someone's going to be hurt on Thursday.
Oh, the drama like, of it all, y'all.
Jason, it's you. It's going to be you. You're the one he's crying about.
Yes. So ultimately, Paul, as you mentioned, he talks to Kevin and he lets him know, you need to throw this HOH competition. Kevin goes, why? So I can be put up on the block again? Like, what's happening here? And Paul is like, yeah, actually, probably. But look what happened. You stayed safe. It was all part of the master plan. Everything's all good. And as you mentioned, Kevin's like, who would go up on the block with me? Would it be Alex? And Paul's like, mm-hmm. And he goes, who's our final three? Is it you, me, and Christmas? And Paul's like, mm-hmm. And he's like, all right, then, fine. I'll throw it. That's fine. There we go. Paul and Kevin.
Paul's whole thing in trying to convince him to do that is like, we both have to be available to win the final four head of household, which actually I felt like it was a little bit more believable when he said that. Like when he told Kevin, look, we need to be available to play in Final Four. That will allow us to play in Final Three. Like it has to be us at Final Four, HOH. Actually, truthfully speaking, I don't understand Paul's thinking here, because Paul knows that Kevin would go after Alex if he wins HOH. I guess. I mean, I know that maybe there's a part of him that wants to get Paul out, but I feel like Kevin would do what Paul wants to do if he won HOH. But if Kevin wins HOH at four in what usually is like a quiz comp, he could certainly win. Maybe Paul doesn't realize that. Then I feel like here's the thing. I just feel like Paul's taking it as a given that he's been holding back on all these other competitions, that of course I'll win Final Four HOH, but that may not be the case. And if Kevin wins Final Four HOH, that could really cause some problems for Paul's game.
Yeah. He should have wanted Kevin to win this one.
Thank you.
With Kevin, I mean, even if Kevin puts up Alex and Paul, you know he has the votes. So it's like, it's not a huge deal. Even if Kevin doesn't do what he says, Kevin can't keep Alex in the game. And you know, Christmas and Josh will back you up and keep you over Alex. But yeah, if Kevin wins the Final Four HOH, then all of a sudden the only people vulnerable are Christmas, Josh, and Paul. And you know what Josh is going to do if he wins that veto. You know, even honestly, what Kevin might do if he wins the veto is leave Josh to be the vote, because again, Kevin knows you need to take Paul out. As much as he's willing to throw competitions, as much as he knows that Paul is one of his allies, he knows that Paul needs to go if he wants to win. And I think he may be willing to take a shot there. And you know, even with Christmas winning the veto, that's not a situation you want to be in, where she has to make a decision between you and Josh. So this would have been great if Kevin had won this HOH. But obviously he doesn't want him to. And maybe part of that is like, he's not really thinking straight. Maybe he does want Kevin to win something and take Josh out for him next week. That's wishful thinking for me, like hoping that Paul is doing a good thing here. But he hasn't really mentioned that at all. So, John, what do you think?
Well, I agree with everything that you and Brent are saying. I also think that at this point, just keep Alex. It's weird that they want to get rid of Alex right now. And I know that it's because everyone wants to get rid of Alex. And I think Paul, because Christmas and Josh and Kevin want to target Alex, that Paul will be the good guy if he also targets Alex. But like, if Alex wins, if she had won, well, she couldn't win the HOH, but if she wins the veto, I think that ends up being good for Paul, because like we said, Alex will take Paul to the final three and to the final two. And I could see, I mean, I'm pretty sure Paul would beat Alex in the end. So I don't think it behooves Paul to be getting rid of Alex right here. I think there was a little bit of misplaying on this part. We're seeing, I think that, you know, we've been talking all season, like, is it how good Paul is versus how stupid everyone else is? And I think that Paul is really, really good. And we can definitely talk about when and if he wins, like where he ranks amongst the greatest. But I think as we get towards the end game, Paul's getting a little more sloppy. And really now he's just kind of lucking out that everyone else is just sort of willing to follow him and sort of stupid, because I do think he misplayed this final five, and there are lots of scenarios where that could hurt him in the four and in the three.
Yeah, and I agree, because it's very easy. Like, Paul has so much social control, and I think part of that is because he's a vet, and part of it is because he's very good socially. However, the strategic side of things has always been his kryptonite. He was bad socially at parts too last season, but the strategic element, not having knowledge of the game was something that really hurt him last season, and I think we're seeing it again. It's very easy to, if you have a ton of social control, to just dominate your way toward the end of the game. But the end of the game requires a lot of intricate strategy. You need to be able to make it there with the right person, with the right jury management, in the right way. And I think we're seeing Paul have a ton of control and not really know what to do with that control. And I think you bring up an interesting point here, because we've been saying that, yeah, maybe he should be taking out Alex. However, with Raven gone, maybe Alex is the best person to bring down to the end. Maybe Alex can replace that Raven spot. She can be somebody that obviously nobody will ever want to take Alex to the end. So they would, Christmas, whether it's Christmas, Josh, or Kevin, they'd want to take Paul over Alex. And then yep. If Alex wins, she will take Paul. And I do think that Paul would beat Alex in the end, as long as she hasn't had a complete competition spree up until that point. I think any notion that she was a mastermind is going to be vanquished in the jury house when people arrive to the jury. And I really think he beats her. Brent, what do you think?
Well, I just think that that's sort of like fourth dimensional chess for somebody like Paul, who isn't really a Big Brother fan, is keeping somebody like Alex in the game for that specific purpose, meaning like she will take you and be loyal to you. And yes, she is somewhat of a threat, but everybody else will also see her as a threat. And thus they'll be forced to evict her over you, thus leaving you in the game. Like, that's something that I don't think Paul, to be completely honest, I don't think that he, even as good as he is right now, I don't think he has evolved to that level of thinking in this game, because as you've said, we've seen him make some mistakes here at the end, and maybe he might, you know, some things that have happened sometimes is you say something, Taryn, on a podcast, and then Paul will think of it like 5 days later. Yeah. So he may eventually stumble onto this strategy, but it's not something that I think is going to innately come to him.
Yeah, I agree, and we'll be on the lookout to see if he eventually comes to this conclusion. Because like when Alex is telling you, "You are my ride or die, I'm going to take you to final two," you're probably going to start to think maybe I should think about this. The problem is, Josh is doing a pretty decent job of convincing Paul that he is loyal, that he's going to take him to the final two. Even though he's doubted Paul's plans, he's been able to maintain this facade of loyalty, whether it's genuine or not.
Let's not get bogged down into the fan fiction here. I mean, we've seen Josh being the most enlightened out of this group, but he completely did everything that Paul wanted in both votes of the double eviction. He did the fight. And he has been saying, even throughout all of his doubts, he's been saying in one-on-one, he's one of the few people that talks to the Feedsters directly. He's been saying, "I will never betray Paul in this game." I do think that if he wins that final three HOH, that he will cut Paul. But I don't think that he will do anything up until that point. He's not shown any reason for us to think that he's going to do that.
I agree with John, too, really quickly, that I think that Josh would infuriate me, because if he actually won the final four veto, I actually do think he would vote to evict Kevin and leave Paul in the game. Mm-hmm. I can't explain it. I don't understand why. And that would be bigger than Marcellus. That would be beyond anything I've seen on reality TV. That's like Wu and Tony-esque. Like, kind of mistake there. Anyway.
There is a chance that Alex wins the POV this week, and then Paul tells her not to use it, and then she goes home. That could also be a Marcellus move that we might see in the near future.
Yes, I love people in the chat saying, "No, you guys are wrong. I know what the jury is going to do. I know everything. I have the live feed, the jury live feeds." jury is very difficult to predict. So moving forward, Paul is talking to Christmas and Josh, saying Kevin is down to throw this. I do think we get a little bit of Josh again, sort of doubting. Hey, Paul, how did Kevin know about our plan? He explained it to Jason. And the answer is, well, he was just speculating. Which I think is true. I think Kevin just like figured it out. They really didn't tell him anything, but this is again a scenario where I think Josh has it in his mind. Paul told Kevin. I know it. I know he told Kevin. So that doubt, it's still there. They also talk about how they're going to be a little more upfront with Alex. So if Alex doesn't win the power of veto, they're all going to tell her, "Look, we're sorry, you're going home." They're going to unanimously vote to evict her. And that's going to be what they're going to do.
That I'm going to be a little bit bitter about this, because, you know, they're going to have this special eviction episode on Wednesday. Usually they tape it on Tuesday and the feeds go down on Tuesday. There could be a moment, if Paul's going to tell Alex the truth, I don't think he's going to tell her until the last day. He's going to want to have a nice week. So if Paul is actually honest with Alex and tells her that he's going to vote to evict her, it's probably not going to happen until Tuesday. And we're going to miss that. And I would be really, really bitter about that. On the other hand, with Julie surprising the house guests on Tuesday, not a Sunday eviction, Paul, but a Tuesday eviction, maybe he won't have enough time to tell her, and he'll have to actually blindside her, which would be really fun as well.
Yes. So then we finally have the HOH competition where Josh ends up winning it. And as soon as the feeds come back, we have Kevin talking to Paul saying, "I threw that. I could have won that. I threw that for you. I hope you know that. I hope you're, I hope you stay true to your deal here." Paul says, "Look, yeah, we're good. You did it. You did it correctly. We're all good. You have done the right thing here." John, I'll ask you, John. Do you think Kevin really threw this, or is this Kevin saying he threw it after the fact because he wants Paul to keep him safe?
I don't know. You know, I've been a Kevin fan all season, but like he is not very good at competitions. He was really struggling in that veto last night with the lemons and the limes. I guess we'll see on Sunday what the actual challenge was. So we got hinted that they're doing BB Comics this week, and Alex has been walking around the house wearing like a BB Comics like superhero costume. So clearly the HOH was related to that, but there is some sort of question on whether it is the traditional, like where they're swinging back and forth. I think that it's probably going to be like a BB Comics themed week. And so the traditional, what we think of as the comic competition, will still be the veto, and whatever they did for the HOH was something somewhat different, but maybe it's related to that. Kevin was talking about how they were asked a lot of questions and that he knew the answers to them. So it's possible that he could have won it. It depends on what the challenge was.
Yes. So, you know, Kevin, he says, this is all good. You'd better keep me safe. He asks Paul to tell Josh to not put him on the block. Paul says he will, but that crumbles pretty quickly. Josh eventually tells Kevin that he will be putting him on the block, but it'll be next to Alex. So don't worry about it. Paul does also talk to Alex. And she did have a moment previously where she had a little bit of doubt. She was like, am I getting backdoored? And Paul was like, hey, no way. What are you talking about? Shut up. Well, you're not getting back. Why are you even saying that? She tells Paul, you're the only one I trust. You're my new ride or die. I may have doubted you for a second, but you know, you're all that I have now. If I go out of the house, I want you to win. And Paul says, yeah, you know what? If I get evicted, I'm going to fight for you so hard in jury. That's totally what I'm going to do. What are you going to do? And Alex says, oh yeah, I'll totally fight for you in jury. I want you to win if I go out. Brent, you're shaking your head.
Well, I just don't know. Again, he's misplaying. I'm talking about Paul because obviously Alex is going to find out the truth. So I don't know why he's telling her this right now. I feel like it's going to look really bad in hindsight if you're somebody like Alex. And I would also like to point out that I do feel a little bit vindicated because I did say that, and not a lot, but I do feel a little bit vindicated because Alex said that there was a moment where she thought, you know, is Paul playing me? Is it actually Paul? And it had to be more than a moment for her to actually vocalize it. And she vocalized it to Paul. But then she shut it down in front of him. I really am interested to hear her diary rooms, to hear if there's any doubt whatsoever, or if it is all, you know, Paul's my new ride or die. I love Paul, 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 Paul. So if it's that, then, you know, whatever. But I'm hoping that there is a little bit of, I mean, she can't be this stupid, can she? I mean, I know we say, yes. We joke, yes, that she is.
Yeah, I don't think we should underestimate.
And I know we're going long today, but I have to say, she's such an idiot too, because she's like, am I getting backdoored? Honey, there's five people left in the house. There's no such thing as a backdoor. And then she had the gall to say to Josh, well, if I'm getting backdoored, at least let me know. And like, that's exactly what you do to tell someone who is going to be backdoored, is to tell them all your secret plans. Oh, God.
Well, I think so. Like, this is kind of like how Rachel Riley changed what the word floater means. Backdoor, I don't know when it happened. It wasn't really this season, but this season it's official. Backdoor no longer means like the five finger plan in Nokomis. Backdoor now just means you're the replacement nomination. So that's part of it. Like, I think Alex just means like, if I'm going to be the replacement nom, or if I'm the actual target. It no longer does it mean, you know, being a secret and actually like sneakily doing a thing. Nomenclature has changed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's been that way for a while, to be honest. But
can I ask you guys really quickly, have you been able to determine who, like, how this competition result came about? Did Christmas, because Christmas was the one who was supposed to win it. Paul had it rigged again, where Christmas was going to be the one to win this HOH. Kevin was told Christmas is going to win the HOH, but then she didn't. And Paul said to Christmas, just tell Kevin that you tried to win it, but you messed up a few questions, which leads me to believe that they really wanted Josh to win the HOH. Am I correct here?
That's my interpretation of it, too. So I'm really curious as to why the plan changed. But okay. It seems like it did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Paul talked to Kevin and he said that Christmas would win. I think Kevin trusts Christmas more than Josh, so he felt more comfortable telling Kevin that Christmas would win it. But then, you know, when it comes to the competition, it's like, well, it doesn't matter between Christmas and Josh. And if Josh is ahead of Christmas, then we'll just give it to Josh. And then he had to sort of clean that mess up. That would be my guess. I think that's probably what happened there. Kevin also, when Kevin was talking to Paul, he asks, what will happen if Alex wins the veto? Mm-hmm. You're going to send Christmas home over me, right? And Paul says, yeah, totally. Just setting himself up to really, dig that knife into Kevin's heart here.
And I also feel like Kevin is the kind of guy more like Whistle who, you know, he'll be like, I don't care if it's 8-1 and I'm the one, like I ain't voting for Paul. I'm not voting for that piece of ass. You know what I mean? Like I can see him being like that. So, we'll see what happens with Kevin. But the most interesting thing to happen this week would be Alex winning the power of veto. And what does Paul do then? Does he actually take Kevin out? Does he take Josh out? On the other hand, it seems like he wants to take Josh to the final two and cut.
Well, Josh is equal to
age. He can't take Josh out. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Christmas, he wants to take her out at three and take Josh to the end. So, like, would he actually want to give up that? Because I feel like Christmas is a great bargaining chip or a tool for him right now. Basically, someone who is completely loyal to him, who, you know, really can't win any competitions. And I feel like I don't know what he would do if Alex won the veto here.
I think he probably does just send Kevin out. Christmas is just too valuable. But it does put him, I think it makes him seem like he will think he's in a tricky spot. But as John pointed out, I think this is actually better for him if Alex stays, because it leaves in this big, juicy target.
Something I just thought about really quickly, though, how valuable is Christmas? Because even though she is completely loyal to Paul, she's only, I mean, like that loyalty at the end is only valuable if she's in the one who has the power. But in order to have the power, she has to win the competition.
Well, I think the value in Christmas right now is that she keeps Josh loyal. I think without Christmas, Josh probably would have turned on Paul by now. And so if he's able to keep Christmas in until the final four, final three, then he can prevent Josh from making any kind of crazy moves. However, I think you're also kind of right that, like, if Christmas, like, oh crap, how did Christmas leave? He doesn't have to worry about Josh winning the final four veto and choosing Christmas over him. However, there's no way to do that without being the one that evicts Christmas, which means Josh would evict Paul over anyone else. So there's really not a whole lot of room to play there.
I can see Paul doing the tie again. We're only going to have two votes, so there could be another tie.
And they won't let him.
Yeah, they said you have to vote unanimously with us this time, Paul. He may try. He may be like, well, actually, guys, maybe
if he's one of the voters, then he can just vote the other way.
I mean, I really think he's not going to want to burn that trust with them. And because if they've all emphatically decided as a team and they love using that word, okay, we're going to draw the line this week. If Alex doesn't win the veto, we're going to tell her that we're voting her out. I think they'll want to do it even beforehand. Obviously, Paul's going to try and delay it as much as possible. When Julie comes on and surprises them, he might get out of having to tell Alex to her face. But I don't think that I think Paul will go into the diary room and vote out Alex. I do think he will, but maybe he won't. He's shown no tendency to want to stab people in the front thus far. He's wanted to. It's all got to be cute and clever with lots of subterfuge.
Plus, so, this is the final five. I mean, there's not that much game left. I mean, he could break a little bit of trust here because he's planning on winning either the HOH and or the veto at the final four, and he thinks it's already guaranteed that he's going to win at the final three, and then he's in the money. So he could break that trust here. It doesn't really matter. It's like Taryn was saying, it's more about strategy and winning out in the end, really, than it is about social capital when you get to this point.
All right, so we'll see what happens. Ultimately, we end the night with Paul talking to Josh and Christmas. They're discussing what happens. What happens if Alex wins this veto? And Christmas immediately volunteers. I'll go up on the block, Paul. I'll take the hit for you.
Shut up. Woman. Oh my God.
Well, here's the thing, because Paul has been preparing for this moment. Like, I can't ever go up on the block. I'm too juicy a target. So Christmas is like, you're too juicy a target. I got to go up on the block for you. But then she goes, wait a minute. Actually, we control the votes. It'll be me and Josh will control the vote, so it doesn't actually matter. Actually, it kind of makes sense for you to go up on the block, Paul, because they're doing this whole fake fight thing with Josh, and it kind of sells that.
Yep.
And Paul is like, oh, yeah. Yeah, let's table this one for now. And, but of course, Christmas sees Paul's hesitation. She's like, I'll just do it. That's fine, Paul. I'll do it. He's like, well, it's fine.
Josh is the one who's in control here, not Christmas. So I can see a way where Christmas is like, just put me up on the block. And he's like, no, I'd really rather Paul to be on the block. And also Christmas, like, it may come to Josh. You know what? Paul's never actually been on the block, and I don't want him to be able to use that at the end against us. So, like, we control the votes. Let's put him on the block. And, you know, he said he'd be fine with it because he said he'd be fine going up last week. So we'll see. This is the part where, and it's only going to come about if Alex wins the veto, or if, heaven forbid, if Kevin wins the veto from Alex's point of view. Will Josh get any backbone? Because as John Krause points out, even though Josh talks a big game, he's actually pretty much done everything that Paul has commanded him to do like a good dog. So can he get a spine and make a move that Paul doesn't explicitly bless?
Yeah. And man, looking down toward the end of this game, it does seem like Paul wants to take Josh and Christmas. And with Josh being somebody who is going to cut Paul at the final three, I feel like Paul, you should have watched Big Brother 17. If Josh ends up cutting Paul and winning this game, I guarantee it's just because Paul didn't watch Big Brother 17.
Yep, I 100% concur. He totally underestimates how fluky that part is, and I think he feels like he has this game on lock if he gets to Final Four, which he feels like he's going to get now that Josh is the HOH at final five. I think Paul thinks he's got this game won. I really do think.
Yeah, he was bragging about it in I think it was the storage room. Like, man, everything I wanted to happen happened. Like, I'm so good.
I did love the look on his face when Alex won HOH. He was pissed. He was like, because he missed a question and she got all seven correct. So he's like, God, again, like again. It's like it's so fun for me to see Paul not get his way. Just like it's fun for me to see Taryn when he has to admit that he's wrong.
Good thing it never happens. So that is our update for the day. Thank you everyone for joining us. I know this was a bit of a supersized update, but there was a lot to go through here. A lot changed. There are two people left. There's a whole bunch of new plans happening. So lots of stuff to talk about. John, Brent, if you have anything else. Brent, yes.
I just want to say really two things that two people in the chat really made me laugh. One of them was Michael Fuller when he said that Josh reminds him of Alexis Michelle. If you watch RuPaul's Drag Race, you'll know what we're talking about. I think that is so apt. He's such an Alexis Michelle. And two, Alexa Lance in the chat reminds us that of all the things about Josh, yes, he may be a bit of a drama queen, but at least he's not putting on the fake deep voice anymore. I actually forgot that he used to do that when he'd go in the diary room and be like, hello, Taryn. how you doing? Like, I mean, like, it was, I forgot that that was a thing with him. And then like, it sort of just melted away, you know,
these guys are meatballs with a meatball.
All right, John, did you have anything else?
Yeah, there was one little tiny thing about Alex got her HOH letter from the double, and people were reading it, and people are concerned, or they think that maybe there was a coded message in there because her sister wrote the letter to her and was talking about a dog, but she used the wrong name for the dog, and the name of the dog that was mentioned in the HOH letter is actually the name of like Alex's ex-boyfriend's dog or something like that. I just wanted to get your take on it. I think it's probably just a typo. Like, I don't really believe too much in the coded messages thing, but I know that was a big deal on Twitter last night. It was like, is there a secret code going on?
Yes. And something else that we should point out. We talked about this in terms of Irma. People have been talking about if Josh is going to be informed about the fact that his family is going to be going through an evacuation. They actually tweeted they have been evacuated, but they are not going to tell Josh. They don't want to worry him. That he's safe in the Big Brother house. That's all they need from him. They don't want him to be worried because, you know, this is Josh we're talking talking about, he would self-evict in an instant. And I think they know that, and I think that they want him to finish
and
out this game.
He also, if it got out in the house, then it actually might hurt Josh's chances of being taken to the end.
Oh, yeah.
People feel like, oh my God, his family was just hit by a massive hurricane, or is in the path, or is in danger of a hurricane. You know, are they okay? He looks more sympathetic. And, you know, basically, Josh is playing a pretty mighty game at this point, from my point of view. You know, as mighty as he can play with somebody like Paul in the house, basically controlling everything. Obviously, there are some things that I wish he would have done. But I feel like, given his abilities thus far and where he was at the start of the season, I feel like he's done really well. And I agree with them that, you know, if you don't have to mess anything up, then don't tell him.
Yes. Yeah, so we wish Josh's family all the best, and wish you, John, all the best for this. This
might be my last podcast.
Oh, man. Hope those aren't famous last words. So that is our update for the day. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow at noon Eastern to update you on everything that happens on the feeds today. And, of course, Sunday night, we'll be back to recap the Sunday night episode with Matt Eisman. That's going to be very, very fun. Potential future Celebrity Big Brother house guest there.
Yeah.
So lots of interesting stuff heading your way. Of course, make sure you check out Aubrey Bracco on The Taran Show. I had a great talk with her about Survivor, about being a storyteller, journalism, community, lots and lots of fun stuff. So check that out. And yes, thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.
Bye.